Hello, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome to the Vecima Networks Incorporated First Quarter Fiscal 2017 Results Conference Call and Webcast. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode, and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Analysts and institutional investors who wish to join the question queue, simply press star and one on your touchtone phone. You'll hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing any keys. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. Presenting today on behalf of Vecima Networks are Sumeet Kumar, President and CEO, and John Hanna, CFO. Today's call will begin with executive commentary on Vecima's financial and operational performance for the fourth quarter and year-end of fiscal 2016. Lastly, the call will finish with a question and answer period for analysts and institutional investors. The press release announcing the company's first quarter 2017 results, as well as detailed supplemental investor information, are posted on Vecima's website at vecima.com under the Investors heading. The highlights provided in this call should be understood in conjunction with the company's unaudited, condensed, interim, consolidated financial statements and the accompanying notes for the 3 months ended September 30, 2016, which is available on SEDAR or www.vecima.com. Certain statements in this conference call and webcast may constitute forward-looking statements within the meaning of applicable securities laws. All statements other than statements of historical fact are forward-looking statements. These statements include, but are not limited to, statements regarding management's intentions, belief, or current expectations with respect to market and general economic conditions, future sales and revenue expectations, future costs, and operating performance. These statements are not guaranteed of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict and or are beyond our control. A number of important factors could cause actual outcomes and results to differ materially from those expressed in these forward-looking statements. These factors include, but are not limited to, the current significant general economic uncertainty and credit and financial market volatility and the distinctive characteristics of Vecima's operations and industry and customer demand that may have a material impact on or constitute risk factors in respect of Vecima's future financial performance, as set forth under the heading Risk Factors in the company's annual information form dated September 26, 2016, a copy of which will be available at www.sedar.com. In addition, although the forward-looking statements in these earnings calls are based on what management believes are reasonable assumptions, such assumptions may prove to be incorrect. Consequently, attendees should not place undue reliance on such forward-looking statements. In addition, these forward-looking statements relate to the date on which they are made. Vecima disclaims any intention or obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise, except as required by law. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Kumar to proceed with his remarks. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. Fiscal 2017 is off to an excellent start, with significant progress on our next-generation platforms, solid demand for our current products, and a record cash balance. I'm going to begin today with a brief overview of our first quarter achievements. John will follow with our financial review, and then I'll return to talk about our outlook going forward. As you know, a key focus for Vecima in 2017 is development of Entra, our next-generation DOCSIS 3.1 distributed access solution. DOCSIS 3.1 represents the next major technology transition for the cable industry, and it's a critically important one. For cable MSOs, this technology will unlock gigabit broadband speeds over existing coaxial cable, and it will enable them to make a flexible migration to these much higher speeds, while achieving significant price reductions in terms of cost per bit. We're positioning Vecima at the forefront of the DOCSIS 3.1 transition with Entra, and we achieved significant milestones during the first quarter. As previously announced, we demonstrated multi-gigabit speeds using DOCSIS 3.1 for the first time at the SCTE Cable Tech Expo in September. In the same month, Entra was awarded 4.5 out of 5 diamonds in the 2016 BTR Diamond Technology Reviews. This is a roundup of the best technology every year as judged by an expert panel. More recently, we received highly encouraging feedback from our Tier 1 customers. Entra is distributed architecture, full support for legacy digital and IP video, and high-capacity Ethernet-centric approach are distinguishing our solution and generating significant interest among customers. The momentum is positive, and we're on track to move Entra into lab and field trials in 2017. While this is important progress, the industry shift to DOCSIS 3.1 is still some quarters out. We don't expect a financial contribution from Entra until mid-calendar 17. In the interim, our current products are continuing to perform a vital function for our customers. Cable MSOs need to complete their digital network conversions before they can move on to the newer platforms. Some are still in the rollout phase, while others are further along and focusing on network fill-in. Combined, however, they're creating continued demand for our current products, like the TC600 and TC600E. John will discuss the numbers with you, but in general, our Terrace family products continue to perform well in the first quarter, with results in line with our expectations. And first quarter Terrace QAN sales were strong, with the lead customer continuing to purchase steadily. In fact, sales rebounded sharply from Q4 when we had the timing-related pullback. Going forward, we expect Terrace family and Terrace QAN sales to ease off in the second half as inventory is drawn down at the lead customer, followed by some recovery thereafter. In the case of Terrace QAN, we recently delivered a new version supporting updated digital audio formats that will provide a path to more network capacity to MSOs, which is highly desirable. This upgrade was developed under an agreement with our lead MSO customer and is in addition to the ongoing upgrade program to MPEG-4. In other parts of our business, we had some developments in the Eurolink business with the divestment of the BC Cable business. We concluded that sale on September 30th for $1.4 million. At the same time, we continued to invest in a major new capacity upgrade in the Saskatchewan wireless part of the Eurolink business. And in our telematics business, we continue to benefit from the addition of Contigo Systems, which has transformed the segment into a contributor of recurring revenue and earnings consistent with Vecima's model. Overall, our first quarter operating performance was very solid, and that in turn led to continued strong cash flow generation. We ended the first quarter with a cash balance of $82.8 million, up by $8.7 million since year-end. So, some excellent achievements. And at this point, I'll ask John to review our first quarter results with you in more detail. John?
Thank you, Sumit. Our first quarter financial results were in line with our expectations. Consolidated sales of $23.4 million were about 9% lower than the same period last year. Sequentially, the revenue change was more modest, with first quarter sales down about $1.0 million compared to Q4 2016. In the Video and Broadband Solutions segment, we generated first quarter sales of $19.5 million, which compares to $23.1 million a year ago. Terrace family sales of $9.1 million declined by 24% from a year ago and reflect lower TC600 and TC600E sales. Terrace QAM sales of $7.7 million were down about 6% year over year, but on a sequential quarterly basis increased significantly from $1.9 million in Q4 2016. As anticipated, there were no sales of our digital video access platform in the first quarter following completion of our contract commitments to the lead customer in Q4 last year. Our customer has now engaged us for an upgrade to this platform, with sales expected to commence in mid-calendar 2017. In the Eurolink segment, sales remained steady at $2.5 million. And in the telematics segment, first quarter sales increased by a significant $1.2 million year over year, reflecting the positive impact of the Contigo acquisition. Our gross margin for the first quarter was 54% compared to 56% in Q4 and 57% a year ago. The year-over-year change in gross margin reflects lower overall sales and lower margin contribution from Eurolink. Our Eurolink network expansion requires us to add additional infrastructure and capacity in advance of acquiring the associated revenue that is expected. The sequential drop in gross margin from 56 to 54% was driven primarily by product mix, which was highly influenced by the significant DVAP sales in Q4 2016. Fourth quarter R&D expenses increased to $2.8 million, or 12% of revenue, from $2.4 million, or 9% last year. As always, I note that reported R&D expense in a period is typically different than the actual expenditure. That's because certain R&D expenditures are deferred until products are in commercial development. Adjusting for deferrals, amortization of deferred development costs, and income tax credits, actual R&D investment for the first quarter decreased slightly to $4.7 million from $5 million a year ago. Keep in mind that last year's R&D spending included a $1.4 million purchase of intellectual property, which didn't occur this year. Overall, our R&D investments continue to reflect our intensifying focus on new products. Turning to first quarter sales and marketing expenses, these increased modestly to $1.4 million, up about $0.1 million from a year ago. This was mostly due to the addition of Contigo operations. General and administrative expenses increased about 8% to $3.6 million, again reflecting the Contigo operations, as well as higher amortization expense in the current quarter. We generated first quarter operating income of $4.7 million compared to $7.5 million in Q1 last year. The year-over-year decrease reflects lower sales and gross margin together with higher operating costs. First quarter adjusted EBITDA was $7.1 million compared to $9.6 million, reflecting lower gross profit and higher operating costs during the current period. Looking at net income for the first quarter, we generated earnings of $4.0 million or 18 cents per share. This compares to $6.0 million or 27 cents per share in Q1 last year. And now turning to the balance sheet, as Sumit mentioned, we ended the fourth quarter with cash and short-term investments of $82.8 million, closing out the quarter in an exceptionally strong financial position. Our income tax receivables decreased to nil, representing our collection of cash-refundable provincial investment tax credits in the quarter. At the end of the quarter, we completed our divestiture of BC Cable assets. Finally, cash flow from operations, excluding non-cash working capital, was strong at $7.3 million this quarter. And now back to Sumit.
Thank you, John. Vecima is moving forward in excellent financial condition. We have a pristine balance sheet with significant assets, including nearly $83 million in cash. We have a strong product portfolio that continues to underpin our financial results. And we have a highly promising R&D direction and great momentum on that front. The only thing missing is a share price to match. We believe current market prices for Vecima do not accurately reflect our underlying value. That, in turn, has led to our decision to initiate a share buyback by way of a normal course issuer bid to acquire up to 600,000 shares. At current market prices, we believe this represents a very sensible use of capital. Other uses of capital in 2017 will include continued investment in the development of Entra and a number of new IP video opportunities. These two initiatives are closely linked. First, Entra is unlocking the broadband capacity our customers need to support IP video. Secondly, we are developing technology that implements the core elements of the IP video ecosystem, such as our Bravura line of IPTV solutions. And thirdly, we're seeking assets and technologies that will advance our progress and that can potentially be added through acquisition. Our strong balance sheet enables us to pursue all aspects of this strategy. As we've said previously, 2017 is a transition year while we're building a foundation for exciting things to follow. And we're doing so from a position of strength. We're deeply engaged with industry leaders and are developing the right technology in anticipation of the evolutionary change to gigabit-class IP-driven networks through Entra and other platforms. It's a very exciting time at Vecima, and we look forward to keeping you posted on our progress. That concludes our formal comments for today. We'd now be happy to take questions. Operator?
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Analysts and institutional investors who would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone phone. You'll hear a tone to indicate you're in queue. For participants using a speakerphone, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing any keys. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. There'll be a brief moment while we poll for questions. Thank you. Our first question comes from David Kwan from PI Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Hi, David.
Obviously, Entra is the focus for you guys this year, so I think a lot of my questions are going to focus on that. Have the trials been pushed back a bit, maybe a quarter or two, I think, in the past? I think the last conference call you talked about late 16, early 17. Is it something that there's been some trials that have been delayed?
No, not necessarily, David. I think our target all along has remained in that range, and it still sits, you know, in the range of the start of CY17 or thereabouts. And again, we've been in continuous conversations with several of those large, you know, the largest cable operators to align that with their plans. And it's still a bit premature to put a fine point of precision on that timing, you know, given the natural refinement encompassing everything from the product spec to market readiness, to development schedule and customer testing schedules, you know, in terms of their readiness to be able to test. So all of those natural adjustments happen in a transition like this, and you know, it's something that we've taken into account and still in alignment with our general plan.
Okay, perfect. And can you comment on how many customers you're in discussions with in terms of running these trials? And maybe some commentary that they might provide in terms of how long they expect these trials to run for?
Sure. So in terms of the number of customers, you know, one thing I would want to shine a bit of a light on is there's certainly very specifically one Tier 1 MSO operator that's ready to take the product into the lab at the moment it's ready, and that's our strongest potential. Along with that, you know, we've had up and down from Tier 1 to Tier 2 to Tier 3 operators in conversations with us and watching the development progress. And, you know, there's still some uncertainty with respect to timing of those others when they'll be ready to look at it. But they're certainly watching closely what our schedule looks like. You know, trials in this landscape can take a significant amount of time. We've seen that happen before. I've talked about 4 to 8 months being potential, and we're talking about a very large network upgrade, a lot of heavy lifting to be done with a transition to DOCSIS 3.1 in the first place, and then moving towards distributed access architecture as a deployment methodology and architecture. So that can have some effects. Of course, there's always a category of early adopters that move quickly. We are seeing signs of that as well. There are segments of the market that move faster than others. That also plays a role. So, you know, it's a long and large cycle that we're looking at with anywhere from early adopters to late adopters.
Thanks, Sumit. So were you saying, I guess, is it your lead MSO, that customer that's ready to take us into the labs? Or is it another Tier 1?
And we're not at a point where we're ready to talk about that. What I can say, like I said, is that, you know, it's a Tier 1. It's one of the world's largest.
And can you comment then? It sounds like you're in conversations with a bunch of MSOs, whether Tier 1, 2, or 3. Can you comment on how many trials that you guys have scheduled with these various MSOs?
I think, like I said earlier, that's still being, you know, taken into refinement. You know, we have the one that's early out of the gate, and you know, I think we're a bit too soon to put a sharp point on when other trials will begin.
Okay. And then the final question is, can you provide any specific feedback, both positive and negative, that some of these MSOs have provided? I assume they've, you know, at least kind of taken a look at Entra, and any commentary they might have provided, you know, how it compares to other competing platforms on the market.
Sure. I think, you know, what we're certainly seeing from our perspective is quite resoundingly positive. We have, like I've talked about, this approach of embracing the distributed access architecture, which is becoming, you know, in many people's view in the industry, the majority of the cycle is headed in that direction. So by embracing that fully, that's something that fits well with the thinking that's happening about how they're going to deploy DOCSIS 3.1. We've also been forward-looking in terms of the capacity that we've put into the device. It is what we call a full-spectrum device. That will be entirely future-proof in the sense of some of the traditional status quo approaches that are happening earlier are not quite ready to go for the full cycle on that. And, you know, I've talked about this Ethernet capacity. That's very important, particularly in the commercial segment. Where we are focused, our target segment of the large DOCSIS market. So all of that is coming into play. You know, in terms of the negatives, I wouldn't necessarily say any negative feedback directly. We Vesima is a smaller player, and it's something new for us, and, you know, we need to overcome that. That's not to say it hasn't happened before, and we don't have a good position to do that. But, you know, from our perspective, there are other factors that could come into play there with respect to the incumbents. There's politics, there's bundling. Those are some of the things that are challenges for us that we're working to overcome.
And do you see any, I guess, maybe with the Tier 1 that you're talking with, any differences in terms of how quickly they might deploy DOCSIS 3.1 in a residential versus a commercial setting? Do you see them pushing the residential ahead first and then waiting on the commercial, or is it simultaneous?
Yeah, so that's a really interesting dynamic that we've touched on before, David. I'm glad you mentioned it. I think, you know, certainly the single family home side, which we call residential, as you put it, is the core revenue driver for the operators today, so that's going to be a focus. There's no doubt about that. You know, when we look at that as having itself on the residential side a bit of two phases. There's a coverage phase, and then there's a penetration or take-up phase that'll happen there. But on the other hand, segments like commercial have some unique things that we've talked about, some unique competitive catalysts. There's a lot of fiber to the building competition that operators are dealing with, so we view the commercial side as having the potential to come early, and of course, you know, the residential side is going to be the bulk side of things that'll take place in those two phases. You know, coverage for one, lower capacity followed by a take up penetration and ramping up the capacity.
Okay, thanks for the color there, Sumit.
Thank you.
John, on the gross margins, was there any restructuring or severance charges related to the headcount reduction in the quarter?
No, those charges were taken in Q4.
Okay. And on the Yorlink BC sale, so I take it all the assets have been sold, so all you've got now is what you've got in Saskatchewan?
I didn't quite hear the last part of the question, but I think if you're asking all of the BC assets within Yorlink, have they been sold, the answer is yes,
okay.
Which leaves us with our main part of our Yorlink business, the Saskatchewan Internet Service Provision business.
Okay, perfect. Couple more. On the DVAP side, it sounds like you guys aren't expecting really any revenues probably for the next couple of quarters here. Is that a fair statement to make? And then looking out to maybe fiscal Q4 this year and into fiscal 18, can you maybe talk about the revenue opportunity with that from, I guess, a more software-driven sale?
Sure. So, correct. You know, we have the culmination of the contract in Q4. That's situated them with strong inventory that they're going to position into the MSO deployments for some time. But we have mentioned before that we're working on a new software cycle to upgrade that platform. That, in an interesting way, ties with distributed access architectures for DOCSIS in that this upgrade is required to support distributed access architecture. And anytime the millions of set-top boxes out there that the DVAP is designed to work with are deployed in a distributed environment, that that requires this upgrade. So there's an element of upgrade related sales that'll work for us towards the back half of this fiscal year. And then the second aspect of this that we're looking at is that it becomes a catalyst to replace any legacy status quo solutions that DVAP replaced in the first place, in that those can no longer support, those cannot support distributed access. So as operators prepare for distributed access, it'll hasten the consumption of that inventory that we position when we close the contract in Q4.
So it sounds like, I guess from a hardware perspective, I know they've got a bunch of inventory right now that they're working through, and I think that there's still hardware revenues as the inventories dwindle down there, but there's further upside from the software side. Can you say, I guess, from the software opportunity, how does that revenue opportunity compare to the hardware side?
Yeah, it's small. You can think of it in the 10% range, or thereabouts, of what we had on the contracts. And that's, you know, very specifically to upgrade, you know, all the devices they purchased to date. It's not only a software solution from that point. So after that speeds up the inventory drawdown, we're back to a platform basis sale. Once they draw down that inventory.
And I think the software sales would carry much higher margins though, so that hopefully should provide a bit of a tailwind on the gross margin side. And the last question relates to TerrisQuam. So the sales, I guess, for Q2, would you expect that to be roughly similar to Q1 and then start to tail off in the second half?
Yeah, that's kind of the way we're seeing things right now. On the Terrace side, we've got $9 million in Q1. I think maintaining in the range of $8.5 million plus or minus $1 million for the last three quarters will be where we're at. TerrisQuam, similar levels in Q2 to Q1, and then the second half where we expect a bit of a drawdown that's offset by upgrades that are happening with the lead MSO customer.
Perfect. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, David.
As a reminder, analysts and institutional investors who would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone phone. There are no more questions at this time, and this concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect your lines. I want to thank everybody for your participation, and have a pleasant day.